Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shriram Properties Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali, Chairman and Managing Director from Shriram Properties Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our Q1 FY26 earnings call. I am pleased to report that Shriram Properties has started the year on a very strong note, delivering record operational performance and robust financial results while maintaining a healthy growth trajectory for the remainder of the year. We achieved our highest-ever Q1 sales volume of 0.8 million sq ft, up by 17% year-on-year, valued at 441 crores. This was supported by healthy demand across our key markets, particularly in the mid and mid-premium housing segments. During the quarter, we successfully launched our maiden project in Pune under the codename Superstar. Post-quarter end, we also formally launched Shriram Songs of Flair at Electronic City, Bangalore. Collections stood at 388 crores, up 5% year-on-year, and are expected to gain further momentum in the coming quarters. Construction progress remains very strong, enabling healthy handovers. Over 700 homes and plots in Q1 alone have been handed over, building on the record deliveries of FY25. On the financial front, total revenues were 262 crores, aided by healthy handover trends. Gross margin remained healthy at 34%, and we delivered an EBITDA of 46.5 crores. We reported our highest-ever Q1 net profit since listing at 20.6 crores. Our outlook for the rest of financial year 2026 and beyond remains encouraging. With nearly 80% of our ongoing projects already sold, we are prioritizing faster execution to accelerate cash flows while actively expanding our project pipeline. Supported by India's strong macroeconomic fundamentals and resilient demand in our core segments, we believe we are well-positioned to deliver sustained growth and long-term value for our stakeholders. I would like to thank all our customers, employees, partners, and shareholders for their continued trust and support. With that, I'll hand it over to Mr. Ravindra Kumar Pandey, our CFO, to walk you through the detailed financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. My name is Ravindra Pandey. I am CFO of Shriram Properties. Thank you for taking time to join us today as we present the performance highlights for Q1 FY26. We have uploaded the presentation on the website of the stock exchanges, and I hope you all have access to it. Over the next few minutes, I'll walk you through the operational and financial performance of the company for the quarter gone by on strategic priorities and growth roadmap for FY26. I'm referring to the presentation which has been uploaded, slide number three. We have started FY26 on a strong footing. Q1 delivered a record first quarter across several key metrics: robust sales momentum, highest-ever Q1 collections, accelerated construction, disciplined cash deployment, and a strengthening pipeline. Typically, Q1 is a lean quarter for the sector and for the company. However, the strong momentum from Q4 last year carried through and delivered an impressive start to FY26. Individual demand in our core markets remained resilient, especially in the mid-market and mid-premium segment that anchor our portfolio. Customer decision cycles have shortened, and booking velocity has improved. Bangalore sustained its strong performance, and Chennai exhibited a clear revival in momentum. We had a remarkable success in our Pune market entry. We are entering a new market after a few years. Our maiden project in Pune, codenamed Superstar, received an exceptional market response and created a strong brand visibility in the city. Our success in Pune can be seen in the context of project's micro-market absorption. A market which has annual absorption of around 1,500 units We could sell around 150 units during the first 4 weeks of launch. This is not just a sales milestone, it's a reaffirmation of the brand's strength in market beyond our hometown. This launch has created a strong buzz and put Pune on track to become our next growth engine. Early success now boosts our confidence in accelerating pipeline addition over the next few quarters. I will explain the Pune project performance in subsequent slides. On launches, momentum improved materially. Following successful launch in Pune, we commenced pre-launch activities in new project at Bangalore. Launched under the code name The One, this project was launched during the first week of July and has received very strong response. Coming quarters are likely to be even more exciting. Our Calcutta new project has received approvals and gearing for people to launch it. On the business development front, our focused effort has now started showing results. We added one project in Bangalore with GDV of rupees 200 crores during Q1. Several deals are nearing closure and significant new project additions likely during Q2 and Q3. Our focus remains on doubling the upcoming pipeline and is supported by ongoing evaluation of multiple projects with over 20 plus million square feet of development potential. We will explain this more in detail in later slides. Referring to the slide number 4, KPI snapshots. Operationally and financially, this has been our best ever first quarter. Q1 sales volume reached 0.82 million square feet, up 17% year on year. In value terms, we achieved sales value of rupees 441 crores, again by 17% up year on year. Q1 collections at 338 crore is the highest in any Q1 so far and is driven by healthy sales handover and milestone in this year. Over 740 units have been handed over to customers, again highest ever Q1 number for STL. Our revenue grew 24% year on year to 262 crores. We reported gross profit of 82 crore, reflecting 70% year on year increase. Our operating margins have remained strong at 34%, demonstrating healthy project profitability. Our net profit is at new Q1 high of rupees 21 crores, up 18% year on year. These operational strengths reflect our disciplined execution, strong demand in core markets, and our ability to monetize inventory effectively. Higher sales, strong collection, accelerated construction, and disciplined execution set a solid foundation for FY26. Slide number 5. Looking at operational performance highlights, we achieved our Q1 sales in STL's history. The growth was broad-based with sustained sales coming from ongoing projects, and our Madan Pune launch added meaningful uplift, validating the brand in new market. Sales volume of 0.82 million square feet and sales value of 441 crores reflect both healthy demand and stable pricing in our micro market. The 17% year-on-year growth on both metrics underscores consistency and scalability of our mid-market strategy. Collections at rupees 338 crores were supported by robust milestone billing and steady handovers. With scheduled handovers and launches in Q2 and S2, we expect collections to strengthen further. We accelerated the construction expense in Q1 to pull forward execution. This enables accelerated milestone, faster collection, and earlier position. Our focused efforts are to remain on or ahead of schedule. Staying ahead of RERA commitment is a key driver for rotation, referrals, and lower post-handover issues. Looking at project execution highlights, Shriram Park 63 Phase 2 at Chennai with 0.5 million square feet area received OC during Q1, supporting revenue recognition and improved handovers. We handed over more than 740 units, our best ever first quarter performance that directly supports revenue recognition, collections, and customer goodwill. Roughly half the handovers were in JV BM projects, which means the earning impact partly accrues to our share of JV profits rather than consolidated top line alone. Revenue recognition momentum remained strong in our recently completed projects during Q4 FY25 and Q1 FY26. Extending the momentum we saw in Q4 of last year. Shifting focus to financial performance on the top right box. Revenue growth of 24% year on year reflects strong handovers and milestone achievements, even though Q1 is typically a leaner season for the sector. Margin discipline, product mix, and cost control translated into a 34% gross margin. Gross profit of rupees 82 crores, up 70% year-on-year, demonstrates inherent project profitability and operating leverage. We delivered a record Q1 PAT of rupees 21 crores, up 18% year-on-year, reflecting a strong operating income, lower finance costs, and contribution from JV profits. On the cash flow front, operating cash flow remains healthy. We repaid 77 crores during Q1, and we invested 75 crores into new project acquisition support to seed future growth. Lastly, on the project pipeline front, we added rupees 200 crore GDV project in Bangalore. The project is already in approval progress mode and are targeting to launch during H2. Six projects with around 3 million sq ft are at an advanced stage of diligence and documentation. Their closure likely in Q2, Q3. Five more projects with additional 3+ million sq ft potential are at last leg of their commercial closure and should move towards closure during H2. These project conversions are expected to expand our FY 2026-2027 launch and sales runway. Further projects with 20+ million sq ft various stage of evaluation across four markets. This wider funnel provides option value and a multi-year runway, allowing us to stay selective while still aiming to double the upcoming pipeline over 18-24 months. Referring to slide number six, FY 2026 launches. Our Pune debut in May with codename Superstar delivered an exceptional response and demonstrated brand acceptance. Q2 launches are on track. In Bangalore, our new project under codename The One was launched during July. A strong pre-launch built up in Q1 likely translates into robust booking in Q2. In Kolkata, approvals for Shriram Springfield are in place, and the recent pre-sale support have received overwhelming response and is being launched shortly. Further approvals for upcoming villas and commercial areas in Kolkata are also received. RERA filing underway, setting the stage for a step up in sales velocity. This launch pipeline, combined with ongoing projects, underpins our collections and sales visibility for the remainder of FY 2026. Referring to slide number seven, codename Superstar. Here we are showcasing one of our most exciting milestone of the quarter, the grand launch of Shriram Spectrum in Pune. I'm pleased to share that it has been an overwhelming success. The event saw a strong participation from customers, channel partners, and stakeholders, underlying the high level of interest and confidence in SPS brand as we step into this new geography. The project itself is spread across 14 acres overlooking the scenic Sahyadri Hills and offers over 60 curated amenities. It also features Pune's first ever downtown retail, making it a unique proposition in the market. With two grand clubhouse and its location in the heart of an educational hub, it appeals strongly to both individuals and investors. The image on this slide captures the energy and scale of the launch, which eventually translate to 150+ bookings and represents 36% of the supplies opened for sale in the project. With the strong start, SPL is well positioned to accelerate its pipeline in Pune and strengthen its foothold in the city in the coming quarters. Referring to slide number eight, codename The One. In July, we had the grand unveiling of the project, codename The One, in Bangalore, and the response was nothing short of phenomenal. This project is strategically located just 15 minutes from the Electronic City Tall, making it a compelling choice for the professionals and families seeking both convenience and quality living. It features signature two and three BHK residences, starting at an attractive price point of 92.99 lakhs, making it highly competitive in its segment. We saw a tremendous pre-launch response in Q1, with interest levels far exceeding expectations. Importantly, this early momentum has directly translated into a strong booking in Q2, setting a positive tone for the project sales trajectory going forward. This launch further reinforces SPL's ability to create high-impact market entries, combining strong location advantages, appealing product design, and targeted marketing to drive immediate results. Referring to slide number 9, FY26 project completion. During Q1, we have deliberately increased execution expense to facilitate faster deliveries ahead of committed timelines. Our project Park 63-2B, consisting of 316 units, reached the OC milestone in Q1. In Q2, two projects are scheduled for OC. Shriram Bastik is about 0.2 million square feet, has received OC in August 25. And Shriram Solitaire, about 0.3 million square feet, has received fire and OC already and awaiting OC. Faster execution and delivery remain a priority. This will drive both revenue recognition and customer collection. Referring to slide number 10, FY26 project pipeline. We are actively working towards our mission strategy of doubling the project pipeline over the next 2 years. We have made reasonable progress and the momentum is visible, raising our confidence levels. During Q1, we added one project in Bangalore with GDV of rupees 200 crores within short period of acquisition. Approval process has started ahead and it is expected to launch in H2 FY26. Six projects totaling 3 million square feet are nearing closure. Five projects totaling around 3 million plus square feet of projects are at an advanced stage of commercial closure. Several other opportunities with 20 plus million square feet of development potential are under various stages of evaluation. The pipeline expansion is strategically distributed across various development models, including OWN, JDA, JV, and DM. This diversified approach allows us to optimize resources and maximize returns. We are confident that these efforts will contribute significantly to achieving our mission 1, 2, 3, 4 targets by FY28. Referring to slide number 11, honors and accolades. We continue to receive a strong industry recognition, winning awards for marketing excellence, product design, and segment leadership. These accolades enhance brand visibility, build customer trust, and reinforce our positioning in the mid-market housing segment. Referring to slide number 13 and 14, financial highlights. Revenue from operations stood at rupees 242 crores, a 57% year-on-year, supported by the momentum in project handover trend continued from Q4 FY25. Our total revenue grew 24% year-on-year to 262 crores. This growth was primarily driven by handovers in recently completed projects Park 63, Pristine Estate, Liberty Square, and Gandhwan. Accordingly, our gross profit is high at 82 crores, reflect robust 34% margin and a healthy 70% year-on-year growth. EBITDA stood at 47 crores, with an 18% margin. EBITDA growth muted to higher other operating income during Q1 FY25 on account of reacquiring the economic interest of the Steel Estate, JV Estate from ESK. Our JV portfolio also contributed meaningfully with a profit share of rupees 5 crore, representing 46% of total handovers in Q1 coming from JV projects. Finance costs declined 16% year-on-year and interest expenses declined 11% year-on-year, supported by lower interest expenses and reduced non-cash charges related to non-compete fee in Kolkata. Other expenses were slightly higher due to new project launches related costs. All of this translated into a healthy net profit of rupees 21 crores, making an 18% year-on-year growth. Overall, following the strong rebound we saw in Q4 FY25, our revenue and profitability momentum has carried forward into Q1. And with the new project reaching OC stage, we expect this robustness to continue in the coming quarters. Referring slide number 15, consolidated cash flow. Operating inflows improved to 221 crores, up from 163 crores last year. We deployed rupees 111 crores into construction and 75 crores into new project investment. Debt repayment during the quarter amounted to rupees 77 crores. Reflecting our council's strategy to channel cash into construction and growth investment to secure future revenues and earnings, resulting in negative free cash flow for the quarter. Cash and cash equivalents remained robust at 187 crores, reflecting in strong liquidity even after substantial loan repayment and new project deployment. Referring to slide number 16, debt profile. Gross debt stood at ₹567 crores, down from 646 crore in March 2025, with a net debt of ₹380 crores. Our net debt to equity ratio of 0.28 among the lowest in the sector. The cost of debt remained at 11.3%, with potential to reduce further in the coming quarters. The majority of our debt is construction linked, aligning with revenue generation. Referring to slide number 18, Mission 1234. You have seen this slide in our earlier discussions, but it is worth bringing back as a reminder of the ambitious mission we set for ourselves. This is not just a target on paper, it's a roadmap we are actively executing, and I'm confident we are firmly on track to deliver it by FY28, and our entire management attention is aligned toward this end. FY26 outlook guidance, referring to slide number 19. We continue to maintain our FY26 guidance as previous this year. To summarize, before I end the presentation, first quarter has set a clear benchmark for the year. We delivered our strongest opening quarter on record, marked by record collections, robust revenue momentum, healthy profitability, and meaningful deleveraging alongside calibrated investments for future growth. Launches in Pune and Bangalore validate our product strategy, and Kolkata is launch ready. Execution is ahead of plan, cash discipline is intact, and the business development funnel is deep and progressing. On behalf of the management team, I reaffirm our commitment to governance, customer experience, and value creation. Thank you. I now hand over the call back to the operator, and myself along with our CEO and CMD will be glad to answer all your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, sir. Please go
ahead. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand, I mean, this entire year we are talking about 3,300 to 3,600 kind of a units handover. I mean, generally as a policy, we book revenue only post post delivery, right? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, now sir, we can hear you, yeah.
Okay. Yes, we book revenues, we are allowed to do income recognition only on handover, registration and handover of the apartment.
Sure. So, can you just give us some breakup in terms of that 3,300 to 3,600 units handover? So, some I think you are targeting from Solitaire or Mystique, right? So, around 400, 450 units handover we are expecting to do maybe in second quarter, third quarter. So, can you throw some light on the breakup? I mean, where this 3,300 unit we are targeting for handover?
Yeah, that's doable. Out of the 3,800 units, there are, as I speak, 8-9 projects are there. In all, we have about 9 or 10 projects account for the 3,800 units. Big part will come from Kolkata, 1,200 units, and which is Sunshine 1. And then Bangalore will have... about 1,800 units will come from Bangalore and rest is in Chennai.
So out of the 3,300, 1,400 units is from Kolkata and 1,800 units is from Bangalore.
Yes.
Okay. And the OC of these projects, when we are expecting to get? I mean, this, for example, these two projects you mentioned, the OC is in the second quarter.
It will be spread across different quarters. And,
okay. Okay, it's spread across different quarters.
Yes.
Okay, understood. And something on the debt part, how should one look at debt? So I think around 650 to 700 crores kind of a debt level we have. So how should one look at debt outlook for next 2 years?
So debt currently is 567 crores is the gross debt. Net debt is 380 crores.
Mm-hmm.
And going forward, we are not looking at a significant jump in the debt. So mostly we have been borrowing debt for the construction finance. The new project launches, we may borrow for that, but we are continuously repaying the debt of the ongoing projects as well.
So you were not audible. Your voice cracked. Can you just repeat?
We are saying the current debt is 567 crore. Our net debt is 380 crore.
Okay.
We are not looking for any significant movement in the debt from the current level. Though we will continue to borrow the new loans for our construction financing needs, but from the ongoing projects, whatever the collections are coming, we will continue to repay also the construction debt what we have already taken. So we are not looking for any significant jump in the debt level.
Okay, because we repaid around 77 crores, right, during this quarter.
Yes.
From the cash flow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, yeah, that would be it from my side. All the very best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one now. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Raj Mehta. From Raj Mehta and Associates, please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. And thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to ask few questions. First one is related to the cost of debt. Since the repo rate has been reduced and RBI in last 12 months have tried to lower the rates, but still I think our cost of debt is on a higher side. We have not got that advantage. So what is your view on that, and in future, is it we are going to refinance the debt at a lower end or it will remain at the same level?
So currently our debt rate is 11.3%, and the first RBI, the rate cut what was done by the RBI, the first rate has already been passed on to us. Hence you look at that, our debt rate has come down to 11.3 in March 25 itself from 11.6. Now, recently we have been written to all the lenders to reduce the debt cost. But what is happening that the most of the debts what we have, that is they have the revision cycle. So every quarterly they will revise the rates. So now the revision has to happen, and going forward we are looking at the borrowing cost may come down. Whatever the new borrowings that we are doing that are the much, much lower level, they are less than 10%. Going forward, we are expecting that these rates will come down further.
Okay, less than 10 means on lower, between 9.5 to 10 or 10.5 to 11?
So if I can just clarify, these are construction finance on de-risk projects. You tend to get a lower rate, that will be 9.75-10. And so it is not going to be a weighted average cost of debt is going to go down to 10%. We will, I see a limited potential from current levels, maybe a few basis points can go down, but it's safe to assume our cost of debt will be hovering around 11%, give and take 5-10 basis points here and there, both sides. We will not be in a blended cost of 10%, is very difficult to achieve given our current loan portfolio.
Okay. And sir, second is with respect to, I wanted to understand regarding the industry structure. since the RBI has done everything which what they can do and they have pushed the rates down, so it, the affordability has increased. But on ground, the demand scenario is not so resilient or so strong that we in if we see the other real estate companies also, the momentum has been lost, which was there in last year maybe. So how do you feel, how are the micro markets which we operate in, say in Bengaluru and Pune, which we entered recently, what is your view on those markets where the demand scenario, whether it has been on a slower end, and we have to give some schemes for the payout so that we can create that demand and push the sales, or it is coming by natural and the conversion is happening on a higher end?
Thank you, Raj, but we have a slightly different view compared to the view expressed by you. Underlying demand remains strong. I don't think a huge loss, momentum loss is there, at least in our core markets of Bangalore, Chennai, even in Pune that we have seen. We see a continued, in fact, it has picked up. Chennai has, Chennai's absorption or sales velocity has actually come back during the last quarter, the April-June quarter. We have seen a full recovery in, it's an unusual for the current season. It's a, you know, a lot of inauspicious period, lean season for the industry, at least in South India. And in that period, we have seen a reasonable bounce back or reasonable momentum in even in Chennai. But also we have seen a reasonable pickup both in launches and in absorption in Bangalore as well. As you may recall, we had reduced supplies, like number of launches were very few in Bangalore in during Q3 last year and to some extent in Q4 last year. It was a more supply-driven lower absorption which was seen in the last year. That trend has actually changed. We have seen a lot of new launches coming through and absorptions have been fairly satisfactory. In fact, stronger year on year compared to last year first quarter. You cannot compare Q4 versus Q1. Seasonally, Q4 is the peak for the sector. Q1 and to some extent Q2 are the lean period for demand in South India. Only after the Ganpati and Diwali sets in, the auspicious period starts and you see a big momentum. So I think market-wise it's doing well. The top end of the market has seen a little bit of choppiness because I guess that's what you are all referring to, and that's why you say what you said. Because top end of the market is dependent on investment demand rather. You know, that investment demand tends to be a little bit choppy when alternative source of capital like capital markets tend to be choppy. Whereas the end user driven demand, which is the mid-market, mid-premium, where people buy for their own stay, not as an investment, that demand has remained reasonably strong, actually. And with the declining interest rates, therefore we should see, barring any global big negative news impacting jobs at certainty, otherwise we should see a fairly steady growth in underlying demand from end-user segments, end-use customers.
Yeah, but my only concern was because the IT companies have started layoff, and Bangalore and is the major hub where the most of the IT companies have their premises, have their offices. So
you picked up one news article. I'm just trying to clarify to you that in the same papers, you have seen that TCS has gone on record to the Karnataka Labour Commission. We have not identified, it's our CEO statement, we don't know, we don't have the exact number of people, that is one part, right? We don't know, some of these are Economic Times CNBC creations as well. Okay. Second part of the story is very simple, the GCC market, which is the global capability, has picked up a lot of momentum in Bangalore, Hyderabad, or according to again the same CNBC story yesterday before. Bangalore, Hyderabad have become big hubs. And Chennai is closely following. There's a third big hub of GCC in South India, and Pune being the on national scale, Pune is another big market which is coming up apart from few other cities that they have talked about.
Yes.
So
Yes,
GCC
definitely.
market is growing tremendously. Marginal, a small shrinkage in IT programming side of the job should get compensated according to whatever I'm reading from the research. I'm not an expert. Whatever I'm reading from the public domain, there is a compensatory reasonable strength in headcount addition in other sectors. So we don't think, unless the entire IT collapses and increments don't happen, people get fired, then there will be a confidence crisis in the minds of customer, and that might lead to. But as of now, as we speak, I don't think we have seen any signs of those at this stage, but we never know what Trump will do.
But are we able to increase our average realization, or that is like becoming a stagnant and we are focusing on volume driven?
As I said in my earlier earnings call, I don't think we will see a big price hike during this year. The era of double-digit price hike that we saw post-COVID till last year, I think that might not happen. Developers have realized at some stage you are going to compromise demand if you go on increasing 15% a year. And that's the benefit of consolidated industry, right? Everybody, practically every developer we have seen the pricing for launches and advertisements that we are monitoring, prices have almost stabilized. During the quarter, we would have seen about a couple of basis points, a couple of percent increase, 1 or 2% in some micro markets and 2 to 3% in another micro market. So the prices are not going anywhere this year, but that's fine. We have moved up in a price curve in a big way. So with the stable prices, rising demand should really get good traction for the developers.
Okay.
One last piece on this. The new launches are attracting good pricing momentum. For example, as Mr. Pandey pointed out, we launched a project called the code name called D1, which is what will be eventually called as Shriram Songs of the Earth. It's about 10 minutes away from Electronic City.
Okay.
The project has delivered at least 600 rupees more than our initial expectation we had while buying this land about a year ago. So the launch moment, and we keep revising the price. During the launch, we keep revising the price or refining the price for every 50 units. And when we see those weekends, when we sit and see the what in your capital market language, book building, order book. As the book builds nicely, we keep refining the price. And that trend of new project price momentum is encouraging.
So, sir, if I may, I will ask one question related to thing. If we are going to invest in new projects in coming years, and there is a stoppage in price appreciation, or maybe there will be very less price appreciation, and we are focused more on demand driven. So in that case, if the demand suddenly due to any external factors goes into a toss, then are we able to convert any project and make profit? Do we have that much of gap in case any demand worsens and there is a breakeven, or if not even breakeven, or we can make a sufficient ROE on that project? How are you taking these things into mind when you are going into new deals or new land acquisitions or new JVs?
Very interesting perspective you are throwing. I want to clarify, we are not an FMCG company, and so we will have our own volatility like you have in stock market. We will have our own ups and downs on the demand and pricing. And the pricing of any new land acquisition is not done based on today's price. It is about a very cautious view we take. And as you know, as you can see from the financials, we have about 34-35% gross margin potential. The project land cannot be acquired. Nobody is going to underwrite the selling price for you. I wish somebody is underwriting me on a Sensex while I enter. I don't think it ever happens in life. FMCG is the only one. That's why they get what they get in the multiples. All of us, the rest of us in the industry in the world, are all prone to cycles. What all I can say is housing demand is here to stay for some more years. It's not reached the peak of the cycle. And price volatility, we all of us did not complain when prices went up 14-15%, including the customers were still running and chasing. So at some stage, it has to stabilize, as you call it, consolidation of the pricing. Like it happens in index and capital markets, it will happen here as well. Someday you have to consolidate, and once the market consolidates, it will start moving either way, depending on how the demand trends are. So if the prices become uncompetitive, then we have to slow down. We cannot keep on growing at a loss, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody does it. If the pricing is not viable, then projects don't take off. Land prices will correct automatically. That does not mean that what we are securing today will be under-returned by some third party. We have to underwrite ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so last question, since the IPO, we have been doing a wonderful job from a loss-making to a profit-making company. But the actual impact has not been reflected in the market capitalization. Can you throw some thoughts on that? And all the best for the future quarters.
I would hear your thoughts on it, because you guys are determining the stock price, not me. We keep doing our work. We keep delivering volumes and earnings. And our PE keeps going down. We are one of the lowest PE companies in the listed space today as we speak. And price to cash, price to sales value, price to whatever you want to compare. So I would like to hear some of the more knowledgeable people on this call to help us understand what else that company needs to do to revive or to get a fair valuation in the market. But we don't really like to focus on stock price. Yes, we want shareholder value to be appreciating, but we don't want to play to the capital market. We want to do our job correctly, deliver our earnings and results, and I'm sure market will one day appreciate the consistency of our earnings, consistency of our delivery, and more importantly, meeting our promises most of the time.
So one advice, if you can do investors conferences in particular areas, and you can attract the investors, foreign investors, our mutual funds, DIIs, and family offices, then we might be on the better side. Thank you.
Good, sir. We will try to follow.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit Mendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the handover. Again, I think we are planning to handle about 3,600 units. How much of that, we are planning to do in Q4? Q4 of this year. Q4 of 2026.
About 25% of handover, 25% or more handovers will happen in Q4.
Okay, and for these 3,400-500, typically what would be the revenue if we manage to deliver all the units?
What will be the revenue if you hand over all the 3,000? So roughly, it's difficult for me to bet.
Roughly, roughly some ballpark number.
I would indicate maybe around 1,200-1,300 crores of revenue minimum.
Right. Thank you. And my next question is on the EBITDA. Now, we are looking to sell, close to 3,000 crores again. And why, for these sales, what for EBITDA are we targeting at the company level? Not at the project level.
You are not audible. Hello? Repeat the question.
Yeah. So for the current pre-sales that we are doing on a quarterly basis, and we are planning to sell about 3,000 crores plus for FY26, what type of EBITDA margins are we looking at? And EBITDA at the company level, not at the project level.
We have consistently maintained that quarter-to-quarter volatility will always be there depending on the revenue recognition. But
no, sir, I'm not looking for accounting. Sorry to interrupt. I'm not looking for accounting number. I'm looking for project level profitability? I mean, when you're selling the project, what type of project level EBITDA we have, and then what type, and in the call, what type of net company level EBITDA do we see?
Sorry, I don't think I follow your question. Are you saying what is the EBITDA likely? Are you saying what is the accounting treatment? I'm not able to follow.
I'm not talking about accounting. I'm just asking for the current pre-sales, what type of EBITDA are we targeting currently as we are selling?
That's what I was answering. And since you said you had a clarification, that's why I stopped. As we have consistently maintained, in our business, EBITDA quarter to quarter will be volatile depending on how much unit recognition you have and what is the portfolio of the project that you are income recognizing. Therefore, I will talk about an average annual EBITDA margin. We have consistently maintained over the years that we will aspire and will continue to drive towards EBITDA gross margin of 30%, EBITDA margins of about 25%, PBT margins of about 8 to 11%. And I think we have, most of the times we have been in that range.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, and that's it for my end. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Right Shopping Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question again is on the handover guidance again. You are targeting a handover guidance which will grow by 14% in 26. In that case, should we presume that the top line for 26 would grow by 14%?
It could be slightly higher than that, as we said just now. It's not put, it will be more than that because the nature of the project. When we gave the guidance, we did go bottom up, and I believe we will most likely be upwards of 1,300 crore.
Okay. My second question is about that JVA. How much handover this year you are targeting under JVA?
Handover in JV. Out of the 3,600, we would have close to about 1,000, roughly about give and take some, 1,000, roughly about 1,000 units will be in JV.
Okay. My last question is about your income tax provision. I think in this quarter there is a quite less income tax provision. What is the reason for that?
So that assessment is done. That assessment done on a quarterly basis, based on wherever is there any other deferred tax provision reversals. All of, because we keep, as you know, we take 3 years to complete a project, right?
Right.
So during the period life of this project, there would have been some provisions made at different points of time, because initially we incur loss and we incur profit towards the end of the project. And so those deferred tax provisions, if there are any created in the past based on the projected profitability of each project, that gets reversed at some point of time. So it's a very volatile number on a quarter-to-quarter basis.
Okay. And my last comment on that shareholding, value or the market capitalization, I think what I see when comparing your company with all other companies, your ROE is quite low, which is, I think roughly about 5.5 last year, whereas I see all other companies, they are in the range of, tens. So, yeah, that is just one point that I wanted to.
I just want to submit some publicly available data.
Right.
We will look at it. We will look at that very closely.
Yeah.
In most of the southern regional players that we keep comparing ourselves to,
okay,
who have a very superior valuation as we speak, Brigade, which has a ROC of 13 and ROE of 14.8%.
Right.
All other companies have a single digit ROC and ROE at this point of time. Prestige 7.69, 3.5 ROE. Shobha 6.44, 2.68 ROE. Puronkara 6% ROC, minus 10 ROE. Godrej Property 6.5% ROC, 8.91 ROE. Lodha and Oberoi, of course, have a very high double-digit number, 15 and 14%.
Yeah.
Compared to it, we have 25, we had 9.98% ROC and a 6% ROE. So it's not that different, but maybe you have a point. Maybe that is, some people are looking at between national players versus us. We'll work towards it. It will take at least a couple of years for our ROC, ROE to improve. We have, if you may recall from our earlier conversation, we expect to be in a double-digit or mid-teen ROCE in the next 24 months. By FY28, we would have a mid-teen ROE as well. But we'll work towards it. But I'm not sure whether others are getting other numbers are significantly superior. I don't know, but they all have a very high earnings multiple.
Right. No, that's great. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one now. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Moneymore. Please go ahead.
So, how do you look at our pre-sales? How do we quantify that?
Sorry?
How do we look at our pre-sales?
How do we look at our?
Sorry to interrupt. Rajesh, sir, can you please use your handset? You are not audible.
Okay. How do we look at our pre-sales? How do we quantify that?
Our pre-sales are quantified based on confirmed booking by the customer.
Okay.
And supported by the advances. Supported by an advance. We don't consider anything as a booking unless there is a meaningful upfront contribution, which is at least 2 lakh rupees of check for 2-bedroom house and 3 lakh for a 3-bedroom house.
Okay.
And without that, we don't take 10,000 rupee bookings and all. And within the from the booking time, that's how we count our pre-sales. And we don't take EOIs and all that. And from the time of booking, we do KYCs and all the verifications. But if booking being a T plus 30, they should have paid 9.9. T plus 60, they should have paid 9. They should have signed the agreement and paid
20%. So then what is the current pre-sales now value?
Current
pre-sales value, total value.
Current pre-sales value is the presentation at 441
crores. And so, do we have people who are backing out anything of 80% or people 1% or 2% after that, or they back out?
People back out. People do back out. Customers are customers, right? After signing confirmation, then the 1 lakh, 2 lakh, the 2 lakh and 3 lakh which is given is non-refundable.
Okay.
If they back after the 9.9, then there is a preset withholding which is already in the forms, and we withhold that number and pay the balance. After contract, there is after agreement to sell is signed, because in Bangalore and Chennai both, we don't sign sale deed like Bombay till the OC is received. So therefore, it is registered. And so when this, after they sign agreement and if they cancel, again there is a withholding amount which is usually very preventive, prohibitive number. So we see a very low cancellation post 20% payment. Cancellation, may have some extraordinary cases where family issues, health issues, those kind of things. Generally, we don't see a big cancellation after agreement is signed and 20% is paid.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Raj Mehta from Raj Mehta and Associates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, I just wanted to ask one question, whether Aurum Real Estate, which invested in us, whether we have started getting any benefit, or it's a pure investment and their platforms have not we have not been benefited from the platforms or from the company's insights or the company's advice? How is it, how is the relationship with the Aurum Real Estate as of now?
Yeah, just to correct the fact, Aurum Real Estate is an unlisted their private company. They have not invested in us. The buyer, the investor in us is called Aurum PropTech, which has about 8 or 9 investments. They are purely a property and property technology investment company. All belong to the same group, so your question is still valid. We don't have, they are very small operation. They have very small operations in Bombay. They are not a big developer. So I doubt whether we will have a significant exchange of knowledge between both of us. But we, as an investor, as a member on the board, we learn a lot from Mr. Ashish Devara's insights in terms of managing the project, in terms of cost controls and systems and process and so on and so forth. So as of now, if you look at, if you are talking about any business partnership or an alliance that we have, we don't have one, and we are not sure whether we'll have anything anytime soon. If at all we try to do anything from partnership activity, it has to be approved by the shareholder because they will be a related party. As of now, I think we are only benefiting from their investment as an it's a pure strategic investment by them in our company, and they are one of the largest shareholders for us and also a member on the board of the company. Beyond that, the relationship doesn't go.
Okay. And how is the relationship with ASK growing since we have completed many projects, and whether we have we got any future investments from ASK?
Yeah, ASK, we had committed, we have only one more project scope left in the platform that we have signed up. But like ASK, as well as a few other brand names, we are working with in terms of creating new capital, because they all commit capital from a particular fund, and then they have to raise a new fund to be able to commit further funding money. ASK is already in the conversation for additional limits, additional similar platforms. We are working on it. But we already have at least scope for another 135-140 crores of investment that can be made from the existing platform itself. We are working towards deploying that soon. And then we will enter into an additional similar platform with ASK as well as others.
Okay. And with respect to the government royalty, can you just guide us what's the status now?
As I said in my May call, we think we have made a meaningful progress. The final decision outcome is expected. As is with any government, it is expected any time, but it has not come through for the last couple of quarters. So I would probably reserve my estimate on timeline. But I think the path is fairly clear. It has been signed off by a lot of people in the government. And therefore, we believe we should be on a right track.
So how much reversal can we do in our P&L? If we, if the order goes in our favor, then how much reversal or how much PAT can increase because of that?
No, that I'll stay away from estimating that for now, but it is an exceptional one-time entry, so it will not have a it should not be seen as part of a PAT, because it will be a below the line as an exceptional item, because it will be a one-time gain.
Mm-hmm. And sir, last question was related to how much savings are being made now since we are not using we are not going to pay the royalty to the Shriram Group.
We have annually we have incurred about 5% of PBT in the past, which is about 4 crore or something. That was the number, that annual run rate we had in the past couple of years. To that extent, we will save during this year, and we currently still use a member of Shriram Group as a tagline. When that stops, that royalty contribution will stop permanently.
So as of now, we are paying royalty because we are using that tagline.
We will not pay the full royalty because we have stopped using the brand identity. And we will stop using this member of Shriram Group in the foreseeable future or in the near future. and we haven't really committed any royalty flow on the member of Shriram Group usage. So therefore, for all practical purpose, entire royalty would be saved during the current financial year.
Okay. And sir, if it's possible, then since you yourself know how much undervalued is our company, then is there any chance of increasing promoter shareholding to a certain extent and give the investor the confidence of the same? Thank you.
There is no immediate plan to increase promoter holding. As you know, there's a transaction which is already approved by SEBI and it is in the working in terms of interested promoter transfers. Only when that project is complete, then we will think about any other thing. But as of now, you should assume there is no promoter increase in promoter shareholding from the market purchase. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for being part of this call, and it has been a good quarter, good start to the financial year, and we are happy to see you turning up in a large number to listen to our perspective on the earnings and the performance and outlook. And thank you once again for being on the call, and we are happy to answer any queries that you may have at any point of time directly through SGA, or you can approach us directly. Either way is fine. Thank you once again for being on the call.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Shriram Properties Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.